for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark. Rolled up to my Chevrolet.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and this show is called Under the Hood. Every Saturday at 10 o'clock, we're here helping with your car problems. And the trick to getting in, folks, is get in early. So the phone number right now, if you have a car question or a comment, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And before we go further, I want to tell you that Larry Harker's Auto Repair, they're the sponsor for this segment. They're a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop at 38th Avenue in Indian School. Larry Harker's is a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. So if you live anywhere south of Indian School, between the I-17 and the 101, and you don't have a repair shop, may I be so bold to suggest that you look up Larry Harker's Auto Repair, because Bob and Ellen are really good people, and they will take very good care of you and your car. But I do have some guests with me right now. I have Vivian Meyer and Mike. And Vivian, I want you to tell the folks what... Now, I want to know your true job title. I'm not tricking you. What is your true job title?
Oh, Mark. The immediate thing that comes to my mind is gopher.
And babysitter. But those are things we talk to our...
Yeah.
But... Folks, the reason I'm teasing Vivian is because Vivian owns an auto repair shop. Vivian runs an auto repair shop. She has a European auto specialist, and it's called Meyer, M-Y-E-R, Meyer. I wish you'd spell that with a M-E-Y, you know?
No. All right. That's not the right way to spell it. It's okay. M-Y-E-R-S.
All right, M-Y-E-R-S, European auto specialist at McKellips and Hayden in Scottsdale, the north border of Tempe, the south border of Scottsdale. And let me see, you work on Chevys, Fords.
No,
what are
that's
we,
not
what
are you, European. Oh, those are foreign cars.
Those are foreign cars?
Yeah,
okay, what
yeah.
are Europeans?
Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
BMW.
All right.
Audi.
Okay.
Volvo.
Okay.
Volkswagen. Mini Coopers.
Okay. So Honda, Toyota are Japanese imports,
yeah,
or import
Asian,
cars?
Asians.
Asians,
Japanese.
Okay.
Though.
And who does Audi? You guys do Audi?
Mm-hmm.
Mike. And Mike is her son. And he's here. And he's the number one tech there at European. Mike, what do the four rings on the front of the hood of an Audi stand for?
I think you're
next caller,
to the
Buck.
Four rings of death.
The four rings of death.
Great cars, though. I do like them. They're wonderful cars.
Today, they're wonderful cars. Mm-hmm. In the last 4 or 5 years, would you agree with me,
yes,
Mike, that
yeah.
they've made tremendous strides in dependability, overheating, air conditioning,
yes.
Fit finish? Mm-hmm. They are every bit as nice, if not nicer, than what other European car?
BMW.
I would have said the same thing.
Really, seriously, they're one of the nicest cars to drive. They're wonderful cars.
After Buck, we have
ones,
Ken and
you
Fred.
Have potential for serious expenses in repair. I have people come in all the time, and I feel bad for them because I write up $3,000-$4,000 worth of repairs, and they're not expecting it. It comes up all at once, and I feel bad for them.
Yeah, there's an Audi dealer right down here around the corner from us, and I was over there the other day. What's the big rocket ship they have that this thing's got a 200 mile an hour odometer on it? Or
I think the new one is the S. It's the I know they've got the S4, the S6, the S8. I believe is the one that's a super rocket ship right now.
All right, now does the S dictate supercharged, or is it just an S model?
It's like their sport line. That's their okay. super fast one. Like the back in the day, the S4s had. V6 twin turbochargers, and then they progressed up to a V8 and so on and so forth. So it's just their sport line. If you see the S in front of the Audi, that means it's basically
sport.
That's their performance package, and Audi's done a real good job with performance, not only engine performance and horsepower, but also handling. You get in a little S4 and drive it, it's amazing. It's like a little go-kart.
Well, I can remember there was an Audi, and I was driving my wife's Jaguar, which was a XJR. So it's the V8 with
yeah.
a blower on it.
Uh-huh.
Factory blower. And we're coming back from Las Vegas. I was actually in the back seat. Someone else was driving, Mike. But this Audi passed the Jag, and the Jag jumped on it, and the Jag never caught the Audi.
No.
And it was a four-cylinder.
And isn't that when European cars really come alive? It's on the freeway.
Man.
50, 60 miles per hour plus is really... Yeah. I mean, they're still impressive at low speeds, but you get them on the freeway and you know, let the leash out, and they really go.
Unbelievable.
Like a dream.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I remember my brother telling me that he was coming back from Yuma in that Jaguar and a BMW 750i.
Yes.
The big monster, right?
Yeah, V12.
The V12 pulled up next to him and smiled and waved. So the two of them took off, and my brother said that at about 1:34, the guy started puffing black smoke.
Oh, dear.
Nice.
Now, I said to my brother, I'll bet he was up against his speed limiter.
Probably. Black smoke, I think.
Killing some cylinder.
How fast was he going?
1:34, 1:44.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're definitely up against the speed limiter.
Yeah.
So my brother said the last thing that guy wanted to see was me to turn on my left turn signal and pass him.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll buy the car now. And I said, no, Renee's not going to sell it. But you're not going to drive it anymore either because the tires are only rated for like 150. Yeah, and you probably went past that.
That's one case where you definitely want Z-rated tires.
Oh, yeah. All right. So if you have a Volvo, if you have a Mini Cooper, a Mercedes, a BMW...
Audi.
Then I have Michael, the expert here, and here is your chance because he's going to help you with those cars. Because frankly, folks, all I can do is guess. Mike is probably a lot better under those European cars. So give us a call, 602-508-0960. Let's go talk to Buck for just a minute. Good morning, Buck. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine, thank you. One question.
Okay.
By the way, this concerns a 1998 Hyundai.
Okay.
And it seems to be, the problem seems to be common with a 1998 Hyundai because I had another one that did the same thing.
Okay.
The engine starts to heat up when you turn on the air conditioner much more than halfway. So you got four positions on the air conditioner, temperature control.
Yep.
If you go much over two, then the engine starts to heat up. What causes that?
All right. Now, I'm going to talk to Mike real quick. Mike, tell me in the European car lines, when they have a temperature gauge, what is a normal range for a European car with electric fans? Because that's what he has.
Mm-hmm. Normal range is, on everything except for Mercedes, halfway.
Okay.
Halfway. Mercedes is a little different. Theirs do seem to be a little higher than half, but everything else that I've seen is usually halfway.
Okay. Now, for my world, which I do the imports and the Chevys and Fords, half to three quarters in the owner's manual is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so Buck, let me ask you. When you turn on the air and it gets up high, does it ever go past the three-quarter mark on the gauge?
Yeah, especially if you stop, you know, as long as you're moving. But if you stop, I mean, it's going to overheat. I mean, it's going to peg that temperature gauge. Yeah.
Mike, you know what it is.
Sounds like one of your electric fans is not working.
Exactly.
When your AC is turned on, it kicks on the electric fans. On most models, as soon as you turn on the AC, the electric fans should come on. Now, if you're running normally with your AC off, but as soon as you turn your AC on, probably what's happening is your AC system is creating too much. What the fans do is actually they bring down the pressures of the AC system because you're producing great pressures in there. You've got
lots of heat,
lots of pressure. When you remove the heat, you bring the pressure down. It's not so hard on the engine to run that. So you probably got an electric fan issue.
But the condenser is right next to the radiator,
yes.
And we're trying to dissipate heat off the condenser, and it goes to the radiator, which causes your cooling system to spike.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, Buck, I agree with Mike. You have an electric cooling fan problem. I think on your Hyundai, and I'm guessing, I think you have two electric cooling fans. I think you have one that's controlled by the engine or temperature. So when the temperature gets up past three quarters, it'll turn on, and then it'll shut off when it gets closer to half. But I think you have one on air conditioning. And the key here is, Buck, is you say, when I'm in a traffic stop or at a light, it heats up. But once I get moving, and the difference is when you're stopped, that fan's not drawing air across that radiator and condenser. But when you get moving, then we have air flowing across the condenser. And that's the difference. So you have an airflow problem across the condenser radiator. What do you say?
Yeah.
Okay,
agree
two votes here. Vivian?
I agree.
I agree. All righty. Buck, thank you very much. Let's see where we're at in time. And let's go to Ken. Ken, good morning to you. How can we help you today?
Good morning. I have a 07 Chevy Malibu. Last week, the temperature gauge would not move. He was pegged on cold.
Okay.
And the air was blowing out warm to hot. Was going to take it in to have fixed. Come about a half mile before I got to the mechanic, it started working again. The needle registered halfway, and it almost froze me out with the air. On the way to where I was going this morning, it was working fine. Just before I got there, the needle went to cold and was blowing hot air.
Mike, that can go with any car.
Yeah.
Any car can do that.
Now, did it go... So it was running normal operational temperature and then went to cold?
Is that what happened?
Yes, this morning it did. And we checked the hoses with the one of those guns that tell you how hot things are. And everything seemed to be fine.
3 minutes.
The catalytic converter was in the 400 range.
No. You're going off on a tangent here on us because okay. Everything is fine. Doesn't mean nothing to us guys because we want the definition of you're fine.
Okay.
So, for instance, were the top and bottom hoses the same temperature?
No. I was not present when this happened. My father-in-law did it.
Okay.
They were one. I don't know which one it was, but one was hotter than the other. But it was in, according to him, in the right temperature range.
Okay. Mike, should they ever be different after you warm them up and get the thermostat wide open?
Yeah, I mean, as you're moving the coolant through the radiator, it's definitely cooling the coolant, so it should be definitely cooler.
There should be. I think in the American car line, we should see about a 10 to 20 degree difference from the in to the out on the radiator.
Yes.
10 to 20. I think what he has is he's either got a on his particular Malibu, I think there's two different switches. I think there's a coolant switch that tells the computer what the coolant temperature is, but I think we have a temperature switch that talks to the gauge.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking electrical issue, something, a sensor, something's malfunctioning.
Right.
Because to go from all the way from operational temperature to cold quickly, that kind of sounds like not necessarily a coolant system but an electrical sender.
Okay.
Sensor problem.
And that would be the same thing. Fred, you hang on, because right after this break, I'm going to talk to you. But it could be low on coolant, because that does cost extremes, hot and cold. And he needs to check the coolant first thing in the morning, both in the radiator and in the overflow jug. Folks, the phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Mark Salem, Vivian Meyer, and her son Mike from Meyer European Auto Specialists in Scottsdale.
Kelly.
Wheel the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford. Well, now I've got a car that's mine alone, to be in the finance company owned, a ready-made pile of manufactured grief. And if I ain't out of gas in a pouring rain, I'm a change in a flat in a hurricane. I once spent 3 days lost on a clover leaf.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Mark Salem. It's 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I hope you like our music. We work very hard at giving you something that's related to cars and car repair. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by another automotive repair shop that's just great, 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 Kurtz Auto Repair. They work on domestic and import vehicles, both gas and diesel. Kurt is located at I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix, so if you're in that area, I-17 and Bell, and you don't have a repair shop, Kurtz would be a good one. He's been in business since 1992. He's in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. And I recommend Kurtz because him and his family and his staff do a great job in talking with customers, finding out their problems. Because, folks, don't forget, we're as good as the information you give us. So just like a computer, junk in is junk out. If we say, what did the fuel tank read at that time it was doing it, and you tell us it was empty when really it was full, it's going to send us in a different direction. So that's the reason why those symptoms are so doggone important. Right, Mike?
Correct.
Vivian, what's the worst customer that you have? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a, when somebody comes in, I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
An engineer.
Oh, yes. They know everything.
Oh, Vivian. We had a water pump the other day, and he goes, why is the water pump bad? I said, I don't know. It's just leaking.
Yeah.
He says, well, we need to find the pH value of the coolant. And I said, no, we're not going to do that because I don't care. I'm going to flush it anyway. So I'm going to get the pH back to where it's at. Well, he says, I says, Mister, we don't do autopsies here.
Oh.
You got two choices. It's a yes, we're going to change your water pump and flush your cooling system, or no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm right across the street from a place that has 400 engineers.
Uh-huh.
And talking to them is like, you know, they're wonderful guys.
They mean well.
It's just that they can't leave that work ethic at work and just be, you know, they come in and tell me how to fix their cars all the time, and they're wrong almost every time.
Really?
We have a new form just for those kinds of people because they have to sign it off that says...
Tell me about that form.
You're working
what
on...
What does it say?
It says, I agree that you are working off my diagnosis. The success of the repair is on my shoulders. I accept responsibility for the success of the repair. And if my dictated repair doesn't fix the problem, I will not hold you financially or otherwise responsible.
I need a copy of that.
I'll give it to you. Because doggone it, I remember, Mike, years ago, they had a Monza V8, Chevy Monza V8. It took 8 hours to take the starter out.
Wow.
So the guy says, put the starter in it. And I says, man, hey, tell me what we're doing. He goes, no, put the starter. So after we got done, guess what happened?
Didn't fix the problem.
It didn't start. So we get underneath there. It's the clutch switch, Mike. It's an $8 part.
Oh, my goodness.
$8 part. All we had to do was just say, hey, check this out. And if you agree, here's the starter. So, all right, let's go to Fred. Fred, good morning to you. Thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Thanks for taking my call, Mark.
You bet.
So I got a 10 Dodge 3500 diesel with an automatic transmission.
Okay.
I want to know whether you think that I would be better served to drop the pan and change the filter and put in what fluid I can, or to go somewhere and have that flush done that they seem to hook something up to it.
That's a great question. Let me ask you this. How many miles are on it first?
64,000.
Has it ever had the pan off?
Never.
Then that is exactly what I think you should do. I think you should rotate between pulling the pan, looking at the filter. We want to see, Mike, what do we see in the oil pans? Other than mounds of clutch material, which is normal,
mm-hmm.
If we see a broken snap ring, do we know something's wrong?
Something that a service is not going to fix.
Exactly. And thrust washers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I want to take the pan down, and I want to look at it, and then I want to clean the filter or replace the filter. Then the next time, I want you to flush it. This time I'm only going to get 4 quarts. Next time I'm going to get all of them. But if you haven't had the pan, let's get that handled next.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Do you have those kinds of issues on the European cars?
Yeah, and a lot of the European cars now, they're saying don't worry about ever servicing the transmission, which is just a real bad idea. And it gets a little scary if someone comes in and they haven't serviced their transmission. They've got 150,000 miles on the car, and the fluid's black. It's kind of like throwing the dice doing a service on it, because sometimes the service is what pushes it over the edge and actually causes the tranny to fail.
More people, I think, that I know, the overwhelming majority are side with you and me on that. I'm not going to touch it. There's nothing good that can happen out of this. Nothing good. The worst case scenario is I'm going to put fluid in there and I'm going to jar some carbon loose. I'm going to stroke out your transmission. It's going to die, and you're going to be mad at me.
And that guy, it sounds like he's right at the correct, right at a good mileage to service it and start the servicing and prevent problems like this. Because once you've waited 100,000 miles, 120,000 miles, it's still, you might be all right, but then again, you might not.
I don't want the mud. If it's got a hint of red and it's kind of rosy, I'll do it.
Yep.
But you bring it in and it might as well have 5 gallons of ink in there. I'm not playing with that one.
And that's what it looks like, is ink.
Yeah. All righty, Derek, you're up next. Derek, how can we help you today?
Hi, guys. Here's my issue. I have a 99 Buick LeSabre, and it's got 203,000 miles on it, so it's getting up there, obviously. The car, when we're driving it will just die, and it doesn't matter if we're driving it on the freeway or on a surface street or even sometimes just idling. It will just die. And then we'll restart it. It will restart. It will drive again. And then the same problem continues to happen.
All right, let me ask you some questions. When you go to start the car after it dies, do you have to crank it again and again and again, or does it start immediately?
It starts immediately.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. On the Buick, they have a crank sensor that's always bad.
and if it was European, that's where I was going to go.
and the fact that, and I'm thinking out loud now with you, the fact that it starts immediately kind of eliminates fuel. Otherwise, he'd have to cycle that key a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. And I've replaced the fuel pump, the fuel filter, the fuel pressure regulator. So I feel like I've done a lot and kind of eliminated the fuel issue.
Well, you spent more money guessing than I would have charged you to fix it.
Well, the dealership, when I took it in, told me that the fuel pump was bad.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, because if the fuel pump bad, you run the system dry, and so then you have to cycle the key on, and as you crank it for the first 3 to 5 seconds, the fuel pump's going to be activated, but it's going to be trying to pressurize a dead system, which means you're going to crank for about 5 seconds. It isn't going to start. You let go of the key. You hit it again. As you do that on and off, and you go through those key cycles, after about 3 key cycles, you have enough pressure to start the car.
Right.
But you had the right answer. Not the right answer, but you had a good answer. It starts immediately. We're losing spark.
Yep.
We're losing spark. Now, I think there's an update on that, and sometimes you have to pull the cover on your Buick. That's what you need to find out. This could be a $600, $700, $800 job. But
oh, really?
I don't know. But there's times where the magnet on the gear on the front, we have to change that. I don't know if yours is involved in an update, but my memory serves me that there's an update involved. Okay, Bob and Lyle, you stay right there, because I promise you, on the other side of this break, we're going to get to you. I've got Vivian Meyer. She is the lady in charge. She writes checks. She tells everybody what to do. She handles the customers, and she answers to no man. Am I correct about that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And her son Mike is her head tech, and they do nothing but European cars. They do European Volvo, BMW, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, and pretty much bumper-to-bumper stuff. There's really nothing that they can't handle on your car, and if they're not the best, Mike and Vivian will refer you. So if they're not the best for a particular job, they'll know somebody who is. So when we get back, we're going to ask Mike a couple of Mercedes questions and test him.
Oh, man, here we go.
I can be found in the bed of my truck on an old Chase Lounge. Backed into my spot at the driving show. You know, a cargo light gives off a romantic glow. I never have to wait in line at the popcorn stand. Cause there's something women like about a pickup man.
Yes, sir, that's why I drive a pickup truck. I may be a little old to be driving a pickup truck for that reason. But all right, what are you laughing about, Vivian?
Who picks the music, Mark?
I do.
I love it.
What is it about no tailgates? What's that line on that? Jeremy, do you remember? If we didn't have pickups, we wouldn't have tailgates or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Yeah. If it wasn't for pickups, there'd be no such thing as a tailgate.
Yeah, if it wasn't for pickups, there'd be no such thing as a tailgate. That's right. So those are my favorite things. All right, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by the best transmission shop in the East Valley, Quality Transmission. If you have an issue with the transmission, Bob or Steve at Quality, and they're who you need to call, talk to, take your car by. They will talk to you and drive your car for no charge whatsoever.
Great guys.
But when it goes into the shop and they start taking things apart, there will be a bill associated. They're one of the few kinds of shops that do that. They know how to repair transmissions, and not everything's overhauled, because sometimes a Band-Aid will work and is the appropriate thing. So no matter where you live, they're worth the drive. That's Quality Transmission in Tempe. All right, do you use Bob over Quality?
We have used him, yes. There's been times that, you know, if someone comes in and they don't have a Mercedes or their other car.
Yeah.
Losing my voice here. Yes, we use him.
Okay.
We show them to him.
He's an old military guy. You know that, right? He flew jets in Vietnam.
Oh.
And he can mimic those big machine guns. I had him on the radio one time.
I haven't experienced that.
And he was and he was doing it perfectly. And a couple other Vietnam veterans called in and said, "That's awesome. He can, you know." But he flew the jets.
That's quite a career change.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And the Vietnam veterans are my favorite in the whole world.
Oh,
Bob,
yeah.
Bob. Good morning to you. How are you today? What can we do for you?
Morning, guys. Mark, I'd like to ask your guests if they're familiar with Castrol Syntec 0W50. And it's the only Castrol synthetic oil that's made in Germany, and it's green, and it's supposed to be the best oil for BMWs.
Whoa.
Have they heard of it?
You know, that's I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. I know they're definitely changing things. Is that a fairly new thing that's come out in the last couple years?
Yeah, AutoZone is the only place that has it, and they don't always have it. I read about it on these message boards because, I don't know, it's kind of a, I don't know, like a, these guys go around and clean out the AutoZones if they can find it, because they're the only retail store that's carrying it.
That's interesting, green. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can't say that I've seen that, but that's, I'm I think I'll look into that. It's interesting.
Let's talk about that for a minute, though. Let me ask you a question. What does the new Mercedes call for?
040, 540, usually right in there.
Okay, so are you seeing lots of 40s?
Yes.
Okay, and Beamers?
Same thing.
Audis?
Same
thing. 40s. Here's what we're seeing in American cars. We're seeing 020s. We're going to see a 010. Yes. And what's happening is the drive that runs the oil pump, it's no longer a telephone pole. It's a little piece of it's a pipe cleaner. And they're saying, and of course you know it doesn't change viscosities. It flows like a 10 weight when it's cold and flows like a 50 weight when it's hot. Well, the American cars and the import cars we work on, they can't handle a 50 weight. Because if you put a 50 weight in there, you're going to twist the oil pump drive shaft off on a cold morning.
Yep.
And so when we see that 050 and the viscosity change is so wide... First of all, synthetic's good to 60 below zero and upwards to 500 degrees Fahrenheit before it turns, called oxidation, it turns to a solid. I'm a little worried about a 050. I'm a little worried about the effects of a 050. I'm a little worried about in Arizona running a 50 weight in a brand new car unless it specifically allows that in the owner's manual. And then why would you run a zero? Because we're not going to see 60 below here. When was the last time you saw 60 below, Vivian?
Oh, it's been a while.
When was the last time you saw below one?
I don't think have we ever had that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if I was going to use an oil, I would use a 1050 or maybe a 2050 because they're going to give you protection down to zero, which is all we need for the Greer folks and some, you know, Pine Top folks.
Our bulk oil is 540, so when that's what we keep in stock. If we need something special, some car calls for something different. Some of them call for 530.
Yep.
We'll get that, but usually the bulk of our cars take 540. But I'm not surprised to hear about this. I'm going to look into it.
1 minute.
040. That's 040 green oil.
He said 050 though.
Yeah, 050. I guess you could tell if it. I guess because European cars don't have green coolant, so you could tell if it's an oil leak if you see green fluid. It's kind of kind of wonderful. That's why they did it.
Yeah, I was thinking too. Castrol's always been a very very reputable company, and I've heard their oil referred to as designer oil. It is such top quality.
It is. It's a pretty focused market. I think Castrol has gone after your European market. I think they're gonna and their full blood synthetics are gonna be $5, $6, $7, $8 a quart.
We're
not just a whistling Dixie, are we?
No.
And that's after we make no money at all on it because you're embarrassed to sell it for $9 a quart because you can't make a profit on it. So, all right, when we come back, we'll talk more about that. And I'm going to tell you about the Valvoline Zero Weight that I had not too long ago and how much trouble I got with Zero Synthetic.
Hello.
Seats and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it out for a period of time. This $4,000 car of mine cost $14,000.99.
$14,000.99 for that Ford. Yes, sir.
That's a steal.
That's a steal, like Michael says. Mike and Vivian from Meyer European Auto Specialists. Meyer spelled M-Y-E-R. BMW, yes. Volvo, Audi, Mercedes-Benz.
Volkswagen.
A Mini Cooper.
And Mini Coopers. Mm-hmm. Are those little S Coopers fast? Those supercharged
They're not
Cooper.
Bad. They get good fuel mileage too.
Do they?
Yeah,
okay.
I had one of the newer ones in the other day, and they had set on the display 35 miles, a gallon.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was in town or not, but that, I mean, yeah, they get good mileage.
What kind of boost do you think that they're running on those little blowers?
It's a low boost. Well, I can't imagine it's more than 5.
Well, let me tell you, on a Chevy big block or on a Chevy small block, if you get much over 5.25. You're going to blow the head gaskets, and I know that because I've done it.
You've done it.
And what people don't understand, on turbocharged diesel, we're running sometimes 28 and 30 pounds of boost.
Yeah.
But the heads are different. And the head bolts are...
completely different animal.
An animal. On a gas motor, I put a blower on a 6-liter, and I pumped it up, I don't know, 6.5, 7 pounds, promptly blew the head gaskets off of it. So then we just kept backing down, but I wasn't going to put head gaskets in until we went to the bottom.
Have you ever heard of anyone using piano wire to seal a head gasket?
Kind of an O-ring?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the top. My buddy did that with his Toyota.
And
he was
worked.
Running too much boost on his Toyota. He does rock crawling.
Okay.
And that's what he ended up doing. He had to machine out a little groove, put piano wire in there, and I guess it held. And he's out still today running that same engine.
Well, they do O-rings where they do a matching machine mark, and then as they pull you put the head together, it crushes it in the countersunk areas. So they call that O-ring in the head. But that's, God, that's a lot
that's
of money.
That's a lot of money. It's a machine work.
Yeah. All righty, Lyle, you're up next, buddy, and thank you so much for holding, and you have our undivided attention.
Okay. Yeah, what I've got is a situation where I've got two Lexus GS300s, and both of them have the identical problem. Recently, we had a check engine light come on both of them. Took them down to get some work done on them to get that figured out. Well, the check engine light thing went away, but then we've had to, when my son or daughter try to go get their car fueled, for some reason it's like there's, you know, too much pressure in the tank and you're trying to put fuel in. Instead of the fuel normally going in the way it should, it's like you have to just barely put a little bit in at a time until you get your tank full. It's just driving us nuts.
Okay. I think you have an evaporative collapse of something inside the fuel tank. And I'm going to guess on European cars, but for the American and import cars that we work on, we're going to suck the vapors off the tank and burn them again through a canister or through an evaporative system. When you run into this kind of thing, almost always you have a kinked vent line or a plugged vent line from the neck to the tank, or we're not venting properly out of the top of the tank. How close am I on your European cars?
I was just going to add, I don't know if this car has it, but some cars have anti-siphon valves built into the tank neck. And I had one actually last week, a Mercedes, where she was convinced someone had attempted to siphon gas out of her car. And my thinking was it may have damaged the anti-siphon valve inside of it. So if you've got two cars with the same problem, has anybody ever tried siphoning gas out of these cars?
No, nobody's tried to do that.
Yeah, but Lyle, you said you had kids.
Well, yeah, both of them, they're not. That's never an issue with them.
Okay, I'm just teasing you.
Just a thought.
Yeah, just a thought. Well, the anti-siphon valve is some kind of a device in the neck. Now, we talk about the tank as being one thing, and then we have the filler neck as something completely different. There are typically two different pieces joined with a rubber boot. So on the filler neck, the anti-siphon valve, it just prevents them from getting a hose down into their suck gas out. But there's also a rollover valve in the tank. When the car rolls over, it should shut that neck off from being leaking all your gas if your car ends up upside down. But I think you have an evaporative problem, and here's how you can tell. Get both of them down as low on the fuel as you dare, so an eighth of a tank or so. And then try to see if filling up one of them when it's full is as difficult as filling up one of them when it's empty. But the check engine light's going to be the clue, because the check engine light's going to tell us, I see something wrong and I don't like it. And it's typically on an evaporative, it's going to say, I went to run a pressure test on that tank and I couldn't. Or I ran a pressure test and when I dumped the pressure, it didn't dump. Or the vacuum or something like that. So that's the kind of technology they're going to have. You're going to have to fix it by the time you go through emissions, for sure. But just a physical inspection of the filler neck and the rubber hose that runs parallel to it would be the first place I'd start. Where would you start? Would you start there, too?
I think so. And again, with the check engine codes, would be very interesting to see what kind of codes he had.
Yeah,
and the code is gone, and it doesn't even come on anymore. So I don't know if the guy that worked on it just disconnected it of some kind or did something else. I don't know.
Okay, but right now all we have is the filler neck problem, right?
Right, and so it's just, to me, what it seems like to me is that there's the, you know how when you open your gas tank, you usually hear the vacuum release, you hear the pressure release. I don't hear that at all on either one of them when I open it. And and it doesn't matter if you got a half a tank, three quarters of a tank, or you know, on fumes in the tank, it's always extremely difficult to refill the tank.
Okay, all right. It has to be a filler neck problem. That's the only thing. We're going to shove gas in, and we have to have a vent to let the pressure out.
You're right.
And so somewhere along the line, we've lost that. An inspection, just crawl underneath that thing if you know, you can, and just take a flashlight with you and find where the gas tank is at, then find where the filler neck connects, and then just follow it all the way up to the neck. Another thing you might do is ask your dealer's representative or your manufacturer's representative, the Lexus dealer, ask them if there's any technical service bulletins on hard to fill. And that's something else you can do, is Google hard to fill Lexus GS320. just Google that whole string of words, hard to fill the gas tank, or gas backs up on a GS 300. And that will, sometimes they'll give you, somebody will say, hey, here's what I did to fix it.
But, next caller, John.
But be careful about just taking it point blank. Be careful about, you know, going out and spending.
Yeah, take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Any idea what something like that would, I mean, run as far as repair costs or anything?
No, I there's going to be three parts of the bill. A diagnostic charge. I am pretty sure your diagnostic charge is going to be between $75 and $125. If they can duplicate it and if they can find it, they'll find it within that dollar range. Then you're going to for sure have labor, whether the labor is to fix something or to replace a part. You'll sure have labor, but then the part is a variable. The part may be zero because I'm going to fix something. Maybe the hose is collapsed that's supposed to bring the vented air out. And so all I'm going to do is cut it, put a 3/4 inch spacer in there, put two clamps where the collapsed area was, and we're home free. So in that case, I've got two $2 clamps, a small piece of hose for $3, and the labor's going to be $30 plus the diagnosis is $60, $70, or $80. So that's kind of what you're looking for. What you're looking for first is, how much are you going to charge me to diagnose this, spitting gas back out at me, and then you're going to call me with an estimate after that. Because it could be something where it's $125 to find it and a buck to fix it. So keep your fingers crossed. And if you, I just do one at a time, Lyle, because if you get the fix on the first one, you might try that on the second one.
Yeah, there you go. Good idea.
All righty. Thank you, Lyle. John, you're up next. John, how can I help you?
I don't have a problem with my 2006 Chevy Colorado, but I heard some from your friends on another station that you were excellent on getting rid of gophers.
Yeah, I am. What you want to do if you have gophers is you want to fill the tunnel with acetylene. Okay? And just stick your torch down in a tunnel and just turn the acetylene on full blast and then count to like 200. And then stand back and throw a match. After you shut the acetylene off and get the tanks out of the way, stand back and throw a match. And wherever flames shoot out of the into the sky, 30 or 40 feet high is the other end of that tunnel.
Shouldn't we have a legal disclaimer?
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Mike. Can you give me that, please?
Do not try this at home.
Am I going to have a better view after this?
Well, I heard one day that somebody did that, and when he went to fire up the acetylene, and he was figuring to fry all the gophers in the ground, he didn't know that the other end of the torch was in his neighbor's hay barn.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So there was quite a problem. And so,
you have a good weekend, Mark.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Oh, it is true that I was there when that happened, but it's not a good idea, folks. The disclaimer is don't do that. That was tongue-in-cheek. We were just teasing. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley in Mesa. Thompson's been in business since 1970. It's another one of my shops that's on the best car repair shops list for Phoenix and Arizona that has a husband and a wife work there every day. Now, I actually have a couple of shops, not only yours, Vivian, but I think Air Park Auto is run by a woman only who answers to no man. And I always like that because that just puts tremendous authority with women, and I like that. Anyway, getting back to Thompson's, they handle all kinds of major and minor repairs. They're AAA approved. He's an ASE certified Blue Seal shop. He also is in part of a council, a national council that helps industry determine what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And they were named Business of the Year by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce in 2009. So I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma, husband and wife, on my best car repair shop list. And folks, if you want the best car repair shop list, you have to go to MarkSalem.com. MarkSalem.com. I have lots of FAQs there. But every single shop on that list at MarkSalem.com, he comes with this promise. If you go there and have a problem, you have to go to the Better Business Bureau with a nice complaint. Page and a half, nice complaint. The Better Business Bureau will then make a determination on who's right or who's wrong, and it may go to arbitration, where you have either three people or one person making a decision. And arbitration is like the judge. If the judge tells the shop to fix your car or make a refund, and the shop refuses, I will up to $5,000 on the refund side or up to $5,000 on the repair side. I'm covering many engines and most transmissions. So you have my promise in writing on our website. Now, we're going to kick the shop off. You can understand that, right? I'm going to kick the shop off, but I'm going to take care of your car. And if it says, if the arbitrator says the shop should have fixed it, I'm going to fix it. If the arbitrator says the shop should have given you a $700 refund, I'm going to give you the $700 refund. That's how it works. So nobody else stands up for their group of shops, and here's why. I've had the same group of shops now for 20 years. They're the best of the best. One out of every 100 that applies gets put on this list. We haven't had anybody come on this list, one person, in the last 2 years. So many try, but they simply don't have what it takes. Our filter is very, very small. Let me tell you about one other place, and this is Phoenix Body Works, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Vivian and Mike from Myers European Auto Specialist, because Phoenix Body Works is one of those body shops that does good work on expensive cars. They do frame work, unibody structural integrity. Remember that the structural integrity of your car is the foundation of your car or your home. They use the finest framing unibody measuring equipment. That's an important when you get your car fixed after an accident. And we've seen cars with bent frames because they weren't repaired correctly. Phoenix Body Works will make sure your car is back together the right way on time and at an affordable price with quality parts. And they are insurance company friendly and hassle free. So if you need something and you're in the North Valley, because they're on 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, Phoenix Body Works is a place I think you should go. They've been around a long time and they've been on my list a long time. Well, Mike Myers. Are you part of that movie guy? Are you his brother?
No.
No?
Unfortunately. I get asked a lot, though. I do get asked a lot about that.
So change your name. Call yourself Mickey Myers.
Mickey Myers? Yeah. You like that?
I named him before that movie came out.
Yeah, I was here first. I'm the original.
Okay. Well, Vivian, I want to tell you what I like about your shop is that the people I send you always call me back or email me back, and I pass those on to you, that tell me that you are a swell person. They have confidence that when you walk out into the shop, your authority is well known, and that they're not going the guys that work for you aren't necessarily going to think they can pull the wool over your eyes. And stuff like that, and that's an important consideration. So, thank you, both you and Mike, for doing a good job on all the European cars that I personally send you because I don't want to work on those. So, folks, if you want to look at our best car list, again, it's at MarkSalem.com, MarkSalem.com. And until next week, please drive safely, please wear your seatbelt, please don't drink and drive, and may God bless you and your family.